morning I want to spend a little bit of time in the book of Ephesians. We're going to start in the book of Ephesians this morning. And I want to spend just a couple of Sundays, if the Lord willing. It wasn't that long ago, we went through the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is an excellent book. It has to do with salvation by grace versus salvation by word. And Paul spends a lot of time in Galatians describing the fallacy of working for salvation. One of the greatest quotes in the Bible that I can see is when Paul told the church at Galatia, "Who hath bewitched you that you would be beseeched by such a lie?" or something along those lines. That's an amazing statement to me. He said, "Who has bewitched you that you would believe this lie about working for salvation?" Folks, you cannot work to be accepted by God. And if you cannot work to be accepted by God, you cannot work to be kept by God. If anybody goes to heaven, they're going to go because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the fact that we accept Him. Now this morning's lesson, or this morning's message, we find in the book of Ephesians. Now the book of Ephesians, it kind of shifts gears from Galatians and the fact that it's more focused on the church. The ecclesia. Or ecclesia in South Mississippi. That's the Greek word that we get the word church from. It's the word that translates ecclesia. It means a called out body of believers for the purpose of doing business with Jesus. Now, the ecclesia of the church. We're going to start out in chapter 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. Excuse me. I'm going to read a little bit. We're going to talk about Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Him, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest there, by the way, means down payment. It means to hold the place. Amen. We are sealed until the day of redemption. All right? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the works of his mighty power, which were he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. Excuse me. Who above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. I know it's a long reading. I don't know how much of that I'm going to talk about today. But Brother Vernon, would you be our heart as we pray?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the wonderful things you've blessed us with, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll be with this church. You'll continue to bless this church. All the brothers be with Brother Willie as he brings the message, Lord. All these things we ask you to be with him, I pray.
Amen. Can I say something this morning? I love the Word of God. I do. I trust the Word of God. I believe the Bible is true. I believe the Bible is inerrant. That means without error. I believe it's complete. I don't believe we're looking for another testament. I don't believe we're looking for some other way of understanding the Scripture. I believe the Bible is accurate in what it tells us. But I also believe that you have to rightly divide the Word of truth. You've got to know who he's speaking to, what he's speaking about, why he's saying that. You know, things like that. You got to know what the Bible's saying, amen? And there are so many people that, you know, can I just go at it from this way? There's a lot of people that act like they're afraid of the Word of God because they're scared that, you know, it's kind of hard to explain some things. I'm not. I may not understand it all, but I love the Word of God. I trust the word of God. Now, what I say that for? First thing we get hit with in this glorious chapter is that of predestination. I'm not afraid of predestination. I glory in predestination. Because I think I understand predestination. I don't want to be arrogant this morning, and say I'm smarter than everybody else, but I think I understand this thing about predestination. And it is God predestinating us to the way of heaven. If we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get saved and we're on our way to heaven. We are predestinated in the way to heaven. Jesus died for our predestinated way to heaven. What is the predestinated way to heaven? Before the foundation of the world began, God predestinated the way to heaven. What? His Son Jesus Christ.
Right.
You cannot get to heaven apart from Jesus. You cannot see the portals of glory, as it were, apart from Jesus Christ. You know, this weekend, the past week, Michelle and I went on a little trip. How many in here have ever used a GPS for anything? GPS. These smartphones, it's got a GPS thing on here, and you can type it in. You can type in wherever you want to go. Michelle don't know this, but I was looking for, we went to some restaurant, some Japanese restaurant, and I punched it in there, and it said something Hong Kong. And just for giggles, I hit it. The little thing started squirming. You know what it said? I'm not kidding. It come up. Can't find a way there from here. Ain't a road between here and Hong Kong. GPS. And I heard this isn't original with me. There's a good illustration of GPS. You punch an address in there, and you tell it where you want to go, and you hit go, and it predestinates the way to go. It tells you which roads to go. Of course, this is man-made, and it doesn't do so much, But anyway, then you start following that little arrow. And if you get off that track, there's a lady on there. Mine's got a lady's voice, and she'll start hollering at you. And, you take a left when you're supposed to take a right, and it'll start hollering at you. And say, hey, you're going the wrong way. You need to turn around. When GPS first come out, my dad found you can change the voice, and it had one in there called Southern Redneck. And I put that thing on there, and I'm not kidding you, it would say like this: turn in 400 yards, dude. How many of y'all talk that way? That thing would talk so slow, by the time it got 400 yardsticks out, you done went way past it. And then it starts, I'm not kidding, it said, stupid, turn around. True story. True story. My dad put that on his GPS. Had some visitors from England got him there. And he didn't change the voice on it. He kept telling them like that. And then before English folks, they were drivers, hey, you're about to throw that thing out the window. That's a true story. Predestination. Let's just think about that for just a second. But before we get to that, I want to tell you the privilege of being saved. The Bible says in verse 3, it says, blessed it be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're blessed people. Don't you get that? God's people are blessed people. He said that He blessed us with all heavenly blessings. He blessed us with everything that we need. He's equipped the saints with everything that we need. And folks, let me tell you, I don't have a problem with this morning, to understand the privilege of being predestinated. God's got us in His control. And once we accept with Him as our Savior, then we just follow His lead. That makes sense? We just follow His lead. And when we get off a little bit, He's there to guide us back. Strange thing about the GPS, I'll be off a bit, you don't have to listen to it. As it's trying to tell you to correct your course, you can just keep on going, whichever one you want, and it's just steadily hollering at you, trying to get you to turn around, trying to get you to go right, trying to get you to move. The Bible says that you can keep God like that. He's constantly trying to correct us. He's constantly trying to lead us back, but we can't ignore. And many times you do, Brother Donnie never works out. Now let's look at this real quick. We're blessed with a heavenly blessing according in verse 4, as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Many times people get predestination mixed up with the foreknowledge of God. And I want you to know something. God knows the beginning from the end. Nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing shocks God. Nothing gets Him off course. He is the always. He is always there. He is always in position. And folks, let me tell you, one of the greatest things that will bless your heart, especially with everything going on in the world today, folks, God's not taken by surprise. He knows exactly. He's not up in heaven today pacing around in the throne room of God, wringing His hands, wondering what He's going to do. He's sitting on His throne. And He's still in control. It not took Him by surprise. It not took Him off guard. The foreknowledge of God is this. God knows who will.
Right.
But you have to make the decision. God's not going to force Himself on anybody. He knows the outcome. Amen? It's like watching a pre-recorded ball game. You already know what's going to happen. But you watch it anyway. Amen? All right. Let's look at some of this stuff. He says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. He's chosen us. You know the Bible says over in John chapter 14 that no man can come to the Father except by Him. Except the Father draw him, I mean. Unless God's doing the drawing, that's the Holy Spirit of God. Troubling the hearts of the sinner. Drawing him, wooing him, as they say, and pulling him toward. We call that conviction. We'll preach about that much in a moment. But you know, sometimes, and whenever nobody else is looking around, God is sitting there. The Holy Spirit is steadily drawing. The Holy Spirit is steadily trying to get us to come to Him. You know that kind of job of the Holy Spirit of God, that God says that He will, if He be lifted up, talk about Him being crucified, He says He will draw all men unto Him. Folks, let me tell you something. If there's anything at all to predestination as far as salvation, that means He has predestinated everybody to be saved. Amen? I do not believe that God died for a select people. I don't believe He died for a select man. I believe when Jesus Christ shed His precious blood over 2,000 years ago on the cross, that it was good enough, that it was enough to satisfy the God of wrath. When Jesus died on the cross and He shed His blood, the wrath of God was finally satisfied. All through the Old Testament, we read of the animal sacrifice that was taking place. We read how God in the garden took the innocent and sacrificed or killed them for the guilty. Throughout the Old Testament, we read how a man that was guilty of sin would bring a lamb before the priest and they would enter into the temple, and they would sacrifice, they would kill that animal there before the priest, and the priest would take that blood, and that priest would apply it to the altar, and both that blood was to take away the sin of the man. That was good. And folks, let me tell you something. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. 2,000 years ago, the fullness of time had come, and Jesus Christ, born of a woman, was slaughtered before an angry mob. And all of this was saw in God's plan before the foundation of the world. Before there was a was, God planned for your salvation. I don't care what you did, who you are, what you know, or Brother Willie, you don't know what I've done. That's all right. God does. I tell you, that's something you can't get over. That's something that I can't get past. And that it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Jesus loved you enough to die for your sin. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. This goes back to the way. There's not but one way to heaven, folks. And that's to be born into the family of God, not adopted. That's got to be something else. What does adoption mean? What does it mean? It means that it is a legal term. Back in Christ's day, it really meant the setting forth of an adult son.
Right.
And we can get into all that, but we are, that was position, not relationship one. Our relationship was secured by the new birth. Yeah. Our position in Christ is we were adopted into His family. He brought us into His family. Let me tell you what that means. I know I've said this before, I thought I'd say it again. The biggest blessing I ever got after I got saved was when I realized what salvation means. You know, you can get saved and not realize exactly what salvation means. Did you know that? Because, you know, whenever I was walking down the road and worked out over at DuPont in the factory, and it just, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me what it meant to be saved. You know, if all that God does for you are for me, as far as salvation goes, if all that does is keeps us out of hell, that's more than we can hold. But you know, it means so much more than that. We're born into the family. We have a place of belonging. We become part of it. What a blessing that is! To be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to be a son or a daughter of God, to be in the family of God. And He has promised us that in verse 3 that we read about a while ago. And all the spiritual blessings, He has made us part of His family. That's more than just saving us. That's more than just, as I heard one preacher put it, fire insurance from the devil's hell. Folks, let me tell you, I am a child. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you put your faith, trust, and hope in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. You're one of His children. But it's more than that. Not only has He placed us in His family, but Brother Caleb, He has placed us as an adult child. As someone that is fully mature. Don't get this idea that you're waiting for some second thing of God to do. Whenever God saved you through Jesus Christ, He made you whole. He made you complete. Amen. So can I just say this and we'll move on? Start acting like it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're a child of God. You're blood bought. You're part of a family. Amen. You are in Christ.
Yeah.
having predestinated us unto the adoption by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I just want to bounce down here in verse 11. Verse 11 it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." According to that, predestination don't even start till after you trusted in Christ. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever noticed that? Next time somebody comes to you and tells you, I was chosen in Christ before the world began, I was saved before I was even lost, tell them they don't know what they're talking about. You got to first trust in Jesus. Can I tell you something this morning? You better understand something. That Jesus Christ died for everybody in this room. Jesus died. His blood covers is able to pay for every single sin, for every single person that's in this room. I'm just preaching to the folks in this room. It ain't going to do me no good to preach to the ones that's outside this building. They can't hear me. But for you, I want you to know something. That if you're here this morning, Jesus Christ died for your sin, and your sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to trust Him. You have to put your trust and faith in Him. Folks, let me tell you something. Before you can worry about the spiritual blessings of God, you've got to first trust Him. God is never ever going to put His will above your acceptance of Him. In other words, He's not going to force Himself on you. You've got to accept Him. But Brother Willie, I've been coming to this church. Never trust in Christ, you're lost.
Right.
And you never put your faith and trust in Jesus. Does that mean you have to be a church member? Nope, didn't say that. Does that mean I have to be baptized? Nope, didn't say that. You have to trust Jesus Christ. Amen. But once you get it, once you trust, then you're going to go. Amen. You'll put a new one on you. In whom ye also trust. Verse 13. After that ye heard the word of truth. If Paul was preaching about predestination, that should have been put in. He is putting it in order. God is the author of order. He is not the author of confusion. And folks, He puts the plan, He puts His plan there in writing card. He says, first of all, in verse 12, He said that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. We're saved for we're saved because He first loved us. And He wants to have a relationship with us. For Him. In verse 13, at least to me, you may disagree with me, that's all right. But in verse 13 it says, in whom, talking about Christ, ye, which is talking about us, also trust. Trust your Lord. And shed blood of Jesus Christ. What are you putting your salvation in? Well, I think I'm a pretty good fellow.
So?
The Bible says that your living is filthy rags. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. For a long time, I didn't understand that. Long time I didn't quite understand what that's about. But you see, in the Bible, they had a disease called leprosy. And that leprosy was a picture of sin. And what it would do, it would destroy a person's body with sores and just terrible to look at. So what they would do is take rag, bandage, and wrap it up. To make you look better. Amen. Because listen, the leprosy was up underneath those rags, still easily. You see, our righteousness just covers up our wickedness. And our wickedness is still devouring. But it's good to everybody else. Only cure for leprosy in Bible times was touch. As if an only cure. The only way someone could be cleansed from leprosy was if God done it. Then they went through a purifying process to prove that, you know, the priest had to make some decisions. But thank God that we have a high priest and he kept it out in the bar and he didn't pronounce it. But if you're depending on your goodness, it ain't no better than a bandage covering a nasty soul trying to make it look better. It's still the only cure. That can touch the very firmament of our energy, of our spirit. In whom we also trust. After that ye have heard the word. Now he's going to put in this verse the order of the way a person gets saved. By the hearing of the word. And it brings conviction. Go on, let me read just a little bit more. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, after you hear the word, then you got to believe. The Bible puts it in this, in Romans chapter 10. And I know these are all simple verses, but I think somebody in here might need to hear it. It says, in the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made. So it's got to start in the heart. You got to believe what the word says. You have to hear it. In whom also after that ye believe, and then you see. With the Holy Spirit. Let's see. What is that? That means a lot of things. And I think they all apply. Amen. One thing is, you ever had to get something notarized? Go down to the notary, that's a legal thing. You got to go down to the notary or republic and you take them that paper, whatever it might be, and they got that stamp and they stamp it and they print that paper, you know, and it, and then they, well, I think they sign it and then they print it. Something like that. But you know that, I talked to a notary about that one time before. So you know that seal that they stamp it with? That's not near as important as the signature. 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus Christ shed his blood to seal our salvation with his very name. Now, folks, and our, and the stamp that they use, is, at least in Mississippi, it's a state seal or whatever, you know, and it shows the official. In Jesus' day, the king's seal, they would drop a wax on it, they'd have a ring, and they would stamp it down in there, and then it would bear the signature, the mark of the king. That was one thing. Another way, if we seal up the jar, you know, most everybody in here knows about canning, you know, and how you can stuff, and you seal that jar up, and it keeps corruption out of it, keeps it from rotting, is what it does. And it's sealed. I think that's part of what God does for us. He preserves us from his presence. He seals you. He protects us from this evil world. You know, everything in this world is decay. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how good it's made. Everything in this world is decay. That's just part of nature. But God, through Christ, the Holy Spirit comes once a person accepts Christ, and he seals you. He puts his mark on you. Yes. As one of his. This one is mine. Nothing can touch him. He'll always be mine. Nothing can touch him. But he also seals from pain. You know, many of the Old or New Testament saints, according to Hebrews chapter 11, died in their walk with Christ. And you know what Jesus said about those saints? That he did not lose one. Whenever Jesus Christ, whenever I become part of his, he sealed me as one of his. He sealed me to protect me from the things of the world. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Have you trusted him? He predestinated the way in the way of the cross. Anything apart from the cross will not work. Anything other than the cross will not be effective. Anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. Animal sacrifices wasn't enough. Being good is not enough. Being faithful is not enough. Because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Have you trusted Jesus? Let's have a song with you.